worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, oh, oh,
we shout out your praise. To the God who heals, we sing to the God who saves, we sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause He hung upon that cross, then He rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. Shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise.
We were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We are forgiven. Accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. 'Cause we were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise.
There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet.
Oh, yeah. We're going to shout out your praise.
There's joy in the house of the Lord.
There
is joy surely in this place, and we won't be quiet.
We're going to shout out your praise.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet.
We're going to shout out.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
We're glad to have everyone here today. Thank you for coming and being part of our service of worship. Thank you for coming here to celebrate the presence of Jesus Christ. If this is your first time here, welcome. You should find a guest registration card in the pew right in front of you. If you're joining us via live stream, thank you for joining us. Go to the address that you see here and let us know that you have been with us today. And if any time during this service you have a question that you would like to ask, or you have a prayer request, or you would like to talk about knowing more about Jesus, write us and let us know. We'll be in touch with you this week. But we're glad all of you are here, and we are glad to be able to be in the house of the Lord. We are also glad about some other things here this morning. We have been praying for weeks for Jenny Baker. She has had surgery after surgery after surgery. Jenny is here with us today. Mm-hmm. There was a little while there that we were worried about whether Jenny was going to be with us. Jenny is here. Thank God that she is here with us. And we are just thankful for Jesus Christ answering that prayer as well. And in case you don't know it, Zach, who just sang the heck out of that song, is her son. So, yeah. And I'm singing the next solo, so I hope you enjoy that. We are glad that everyone is here. This is a big day. We've got a lot happening today, and we are glad that you are here to be part of it. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for this space and time when we get to walk into this room and know that we are standing in the presence of Almighty God. We are standing here knowing that we are part of the grace that you have given this world, and we are part of the love that you offer to everyone who walks on this earth. Help us to celebrate that today, O Lord, and help us to make commitments to what that means, to become the best that we know how to be in your name and for your glory. Help us, O Lord, to experience you as we gather in this place today. And let everything that is said, every song that is sung, every prayer that is prayed, every moment of the service be something that will be a blessing to you, because worship is about you. Help us to turn our hearts toward you today, O Lord, and help us to be blessed by what we offer to the one who loves us more than life, for it is in your name we pray. Amen.
My salvation and my strength. The cords of death, they were surrounding me, but he heard my cry for help.
He is my refuge, my high tower. He's my deliverer, so strong.
I'll stand in faith, I will Amen. Amen and amen. Boys and girls, come on down front with me. You can run down, you can sing down. Come on. I need some boys and girls up here to help me out. Here they come. Here they come. I love it. I love it. The youngest members of our church, the future of our church. Logan, did you know you're the future of this church? You are. This is your church, and you are the church. And here they come. London, I almost wore those shoes today. I'm glad I didn't. That would have been embarrassing if we'd had the same pink glittery shoes on today. Good morning. How you doing? Oh, it's so good to see you. It's so good to see you. So, have y'all had a pretty good day so far? Are you awake? Yeah. Have you had a good day? Raise your hand if it's been a good day. It's a God day. God made this day. Let's be glad, right? And you've already had some good time with each other this morning, and now we're focusing our attention on God who is here, and God loves you. In fact, God's always with you, and God always loves you. Isn't that good news? Does anybody have plans for after church today? Raise your hand if you got some plans. You're just kind of living life. You're living the dream. You don't have to have plans. You got plans for tomorrow, Monday? Go to school. Is anybody excited about that? Yeah? Good. So got plans to go to school. You going to eat today? Eat later today? We got lunch out on the lawn, you know. Hope you'll get some good sub sandwiches. You going to take a nap? Anybody going to take a nap today? You guys are way too old for naps. Right? We're not. The rest of us are not too old for naps. So some people still use these, and some people call them really old school, old fashioned. These are our planners where we can look at the calendar and the days of the week, and we can look at the months and write down our plans. Have you seen these? Has anybody, you know, have you never seen something like this? This is an antique. This is called an antique. Moms or dads, maybe, or grandparents might have a planner like this, and we write down this Monday is what I need to do, Tuesday is what I need to do, Wednesday, and then next month, and then if we're really, really, really industrious and hardworking, we look, you know, ahead 6 months and maybe a year, and we have plans. One of the great things about being a kid, it's great to be a child, right? We don't have to make a whole lot of plans because we just kind of live in the moment, and moms and dads make plans for us. Am I right? Yeah. So do people sometimes interrupt what you want to do? Raise your hand. It's safe. Yeah, sometimes. Mom and dads interrupt your plans, like to sleep late? No, get up. I want to watch TV? No, do your homework. I want to play? No, you got to eat. Sometimes people interrupt our plans. So there's another thing that that we use, and this is a little more modern, and some of you might even have one of these. I don't know. Does anybody have one of these? What's that look like right there? Yeah, it's a phone. You know a lot of people with these. Does anybody have a cell phone? That's good. I'm glad. Good answer. We have calendars on here, and we have planners, and we have memos, and we have notes. Plans. So I know what I'm supposed to be doing this day and that day and this day and that day. Boys and girls, let me tell you something about plans. We can make a lot of plans. And then things happen to interrupt our plans. People happen to interrupt our plans. And you know what? You know what one of the best planners is I've ever seen in my life? The Bible. Does anybody have a Bible at home? Good. The Bible is a planner. Did you know that? The Bible tells us about who God is and who we are as God's children. And the Bible gives us some plans and some things to do and some things to be. And all of those plans that come from God's Word, the Bible, have to do with helping people and loving people. Does anybody like to help? Any good helpers at home? Yeah, just a couple, for a few. Good. Yeah. It's good to help. And when we help people, we are loving people, right? Hey, do you know what we're going to be doing right after worship today? Does anybody know what we're going to be doing? Eating sandwiches and then what? Building beds. Why would we build beds? Why? Because some children don't have them. Does everybody have a bed? Isn't that wonderful? And a pillow and a blanket or two? Right? Yeah, exactly. It feels like a silly question. But there are some boys and girls living right here who don't have beds. And one way we can help them and love them and carry out God's plan is to build beds. And maybe you'll be part of that this afternoon. Folks, there are all kinds of ways that we can help people and love people and act according to God's plan. And let me tell you something, boys and girls. Whatever plans you have for your life, raise your hand if you're going to get a job. Raise your hand if you're going to get married. Okay. Have kids. Now we're getting too deep, aren't we? Logan's ready. You know, God, listen to me. God has a plan for you. Did you know that? Did you know that? God has a plan for you, and it's a beautiful plan. It's a good plan. It's a plan better than you can think of, because God always has a better idea than we do. And boys and girls, if you ask him about that plan, did you know he will show you what that plan is? Best news of all, God's plan is always exciting. I'm telling you, life with God in Jesus Christ is an adventure. Will you believe that? And I want you to start trusting him even more and asking him, God, what's your plan for me? Jesus, show me how I can follow you and be like you and help like you and love like you. Will you do that? Let's pray about it now. God, thank you so much for these boys and girls. Thank you. Thank you that they remind us to stop, to pause, and to put the planner down and the phone down and just to enjoy the moment like we are right now. Help us to be more like them. Jesus, you told us to be like these children and to be more trusting, to live in the moment, and to be excited about life. Oh God, teach us grown-ups today to do all those things. Teach us how we can help and how we can love and carry out your plan, your mission for us in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This has been a wonderful day so far. It's been an opportunity for us to celebrate so many of the things that we have to be thankful for as we gather in this place today. I may have told this story somewhere along the line. I've been doing this a long time, and I've got a lot of stories, and so I don't always know which one I've told before and which one I haven't. And so if I told this one last week, sorry about that. Anyway, one of the most amazing people in American history, at least to me, was Alexander Graham Bell. He invented the telegraph. He invented the audiometer, and we are still using that invention until this day to test people's hearing. He invented the tricycle landing gear for airplanes. I have no idea how that one came about, but he did. He invented the metal detector. He was the co-founder of Science Magazine. He was the second president of the National Geographic Society, and he spent a lot of his life working for the benefit of deaf people. However, what we actually remember him for is one of his other inventions that Todd talked about earlier. It's the invention of the telephone. That's the one that made him famous. That's the one that made him a wealthy man, but that almost didn't happen because Alexander Graham Bell was not only a great inventor, but he was also one of the biggest procrastinators who has ever lived. He would get research grants for the things that he was working on, and then he would put off doing the research until the very last minute. And that's sort of what happened with the telephone. Bell's father-in-law, Gardner Hubbard, was trying to push Bell to go ahead and get his patent for his phone because Western Union had put up a bunch of money to improve the telegraph. The telephone started growing out of that, but a lot of the money that had been put up for this research was from Gardner Hubbard's own bank account, and so he wanted him to get a patent on his telephone. Bell kept saying he would do it tomorrow, but tomorrow never came. And so on Bell's 29th birthday, Gardner Hubbard went down and he filed a patent in Bell's name. And it was a good thing he did, because that same day, 6 hours later, a man named Elisha Gray went in and tried to file a patent for a telephone. If it hadn't been for Gardner Hubbard, Bell would probably have died poor, and Elisha Gray would be the man that we would remember as the inventor of the telephone. What's the point of this story? The point is, some things are too important to put off, and that's what our scripture is about today. I read this same story when we first started this sermon series a few weeks ago. Read Matthew's version of this story. Matthew's version is a bit different from Mark's version, so I want to read Mark's version of this story today. Mark 1, 14 through 20. After John was arrested, Jesus went to Galilee preaching the good news of God. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As he was passing along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, Simon's brother. They were casting a net into the sea, since they were fishermen. "Follow me," Jesus told them, "and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in their boat mending their nets. Immediately he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Why did I read Mark's version of this story? I read it because of one word that you find in Mark's version that you don't find in any of the other versions of this story. And that one word is immediately. Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going a little farther, he saw James and John. Immediately he called them and they left their father Zebedee and followed him. Back 35 years ago, I was teaching a college class at the state prison in Hillsborough, North Carolina. I had a young inmate who was in that class who was very bright, and he was a very good student. One day he came to me and he said, "What's the difference in Mark's gospel and the other gospels?" And I told him that Mark's gospel was the shortest of the four gospels. It was the oldest of the four gospels. It was obvious that Matthew and Luke used Mark's gospel as a reference for their gospels. But one of the things that really stands out about the gospel of Mark is that there's a sense of urgency in Mark's gospel that you don't see in the other three. Mark used the word immediately 40 times in his gospel because he was trying to make people understand that Jesus' message was an urgent message. It was something that people needed to hear. There is a sense of excitement in Mark's gospel that you just don't see in the other three. Mark was trying to make it clear Jesus' story is an urgent story. It's an urgent business. Jesus was on a mission. John had just been killed. John was his cousin. John's death spurred Jesus on because he knew if they had the guts to kill John, who was the most important and also the most popular prophet of that day, if they had the guts to kill John, then they would certainly kill him. He had to move on his story, and he had to do it right then. This was urgent business. There was no room for procrastination. The world needed to be changed, and the kingdom of God had come near. Everybody needed to know about it, and time's a waste. And the longer we wait, the worse things are going to get. Let's get moving. That was Mark's gospel. Some things are too important to put off, and as far as Mark was concerned, Jesus' mission was one of those things. Why? Because Jesus' mission changes things. It changes the world one person at a time. And the more people it changes, the better things are going to get. That's why Jesus was calling others to fish for people. It's why he wanted his disciples to fish for people. Jesus knew that if people met the one true God, and if they experienced God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, and God's power, they would discover something that could change everybody. This was too important for everybody not to know it. This message had the ability to change everything. This wasn't just good news. This was urgent news. And Mark wanted everybody to know about it. I'm more convinced today than I have ever been in my life that we have to hit the ground running when it comes to promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ, because fear and anger and frustration and distrust and deceit and selfishness and depression, they're all running amok in our country right now. And there's a whole lot of things that are passing for Christianity that doesn't look anything at all like Jesus Christ. We need to be fishing for people. We need to be sharing the good news with as many people as we can, because if we don't, somebody's either going to be left out of the story or somebody's going to be led astray by a false version of our story. Mark didn't want that to happen, and neither should we want that to happen. Last week, I told a story of the mass shooting that occurred in Mother Emanuel Church in Charleston, South Carolina. The official name of that church, by the way, is Emanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church, but it's been known as Mother Emanuel Church since the 19th century. In 2015, a 21-year-old man named Dylan Roof went into that church. He attended their Bible study. He said he almost didn't shoot these people because they were so nice to him. But when the Bible study was over, he pulled out his gun. He shot 9 people to death because he was hoping it would trigger a race war that would, quote, kill off the black race. That was his desire. Not only did that not happen, but the entire world was shocked by the mercy and grace that those families showed to Dylan Roof the day after he killed their family members. They told him that they forgave him, and those people begged Dylan Roof to give their lives to Jesus Christ. They told him that the hate that he had down in his heart and the hate that he was trying to inspire in the world, it would not be there if they knew the love of Jesus Christ. They tried their best to lead this young man to faith in Jesus. It was an amazing display of fishing that they did that day. And the bait that they were using was the faith, hope, love, and forgiveness of Jesus. It was one of the most powerful witnesses of true Christianity that we've seen, honestly, since the death of Mother Teresa. However, one of the most interesting things that came out of that event was the effect that it had on the predominantly white churches in Charleston. Charleston's still a fairly segregated place, not by law, but just simply by custom. The Sunday after this tragedy happened, almost every church in Charleston talked about this event. Almost every preacher preached on it, and every small group met around it. The question that permeated those churches was, could we have done what those people did? Would we have offered that young man our forgiveness as fully as those people did at Mother Emanuel Church? That was the first question that all of those churches dealt with that Sunday, but it wasn't the only question. The second question that they asked themselves was, would we have tried as hard to lead Dylan Roof to faith in Jesus as they did? And would we have even thought to do it the day after he shot our family members? I'll never forget the funeral service that they held for the pastor of that church that week, Reverend Clementa Pinckney. The bishop of the African Methodist Episcopal Church presided over that service, and I'll never forget what that man said that day. He said, that boy was trying to inspire us to hate all of the white people of the world, but he didn't know who we were. We were Jesus people, and that's not how we work. If that boy had known what we know, he would never have done what he did, and he would have known that he would have failed. Mother Emanuel knew their mission, and they knew it was an urgent mission. That mission needed to be done even if they were grieving. What they knew, what they had in their hearts, what they had experienced, it was the answer for that boy's life, and it was too important for them to put off. It was too important for them to miss this one opportunity that they had to show this young man the true gospel of Jesus Christ. They needed to do it immediately. They might never have this opportunity. opportunity again. Yes, he killed their family members. Yes, he killed their pastor. Yes, he did an evil thing, trying to inspire more evil out of doing it. He was trying to destroy the community of faith. But what they had in their hearts could change Dylan Roof's life. And so this was an urgent mission in their minds. In their minds, this couldn't be put off, not even for grief. It was too important to wait. This could heal the hate and the racism that was alive in that young man's heart. This could heal the hate and the racism that is alive in our country. Jesus was the answer. Jesus is the answer. And so those people refused to miss the opportunity to bring the message of Jesus to this young man, even if he had just killed the people they loved. Could we do that? Would we do that if the same thing happened to us? That was the question that those white churches in Charleston had to ask themselves, and that's the question that we need to ask ourselves today. Has the gospel of Jesus Christ had the kind of effect on us that would make us step out and do what we need to do? Would we have seized that moment of murder and tragedy and grief as an urgent opportunity to fish for a hateful young man's soul? And would we have used the gospel as our bait to try to reel this young man in, to try to show him the love, the hope, and the healing of Jesus Christ? That is why I wanted us to look at this story today. We need to surrender the control of our lives to the one who is calling us, to let him control us to the point that even in the midst of struggle and hatred and heartache and pain, we can become what he would have us become. Our world urgently needs what we have to offer. We have something to give this world that the world can't find anywhere else. And if the church doesn't tell this story, if the church doesn't live this story, if the church doesn't fish for people in the easy times and the hard times, nothing is going to change. If we don't tell this story, the story won't be heard. And if this story isn't heard, it can't change anybody or anything. That's why Mark was in such a hurry to tell Jesus' story. He knew it was too important to waste time. He knew the church needed to use every moment that it had, every event that was before it, every need that they saw. It needed to be an opportunity to fish. We need to see the hurts and the wounds and the worries and the emptiness and the poverty as opportunities to fish for Jesus, as opportunities to embody the good news. Because Jesus can change people's circumstances and their hearts, and that's our mission. Today, right after lunch, we're going to be taking part in a mission activity that's done in cooperation with Sleep and Heavenly Peace. I want you to know just a little more about that organization before we do this mission. So let's watch this video together.
I was having a crisis of faith. I was thinking, why me? Why was I so blessed? And sometimes you wonder why you're put on the face of the earth, and sometimes things happen to make you realize why you were put on the face of the earth.
You okay?
Jim Baker, his wife, and another couple, no strangers to working with their hands.
You want me to pull a little bit?
Confined spaces, nothing new. Little fun together while they put the pieces together.
I thought it was all about building beds. And that's cool. We'll buy lumber, we'll go, we'll have some fellowship. We'll meet some new friends, which we have is fantastic, and we'll build beds.
They build beds for those in need. The need would have you fall out of your bed.
Actually surprised that there were so many kids locally who didn't have beds. If you talk to teachers, if you talk to guidance counselors, if you talk to DCF, you find out that there's thousands of kids that are sleeping on the floor, basically.
Jim Baker started the
Sleep in Heavenly Peace, guys.
Sleep in Heavenly Peace of Pinellas County. It's a chapter of the national organization.
They're all hand-built. They're built out of pine lumber. We purchase the wood locally. Everything is new. New mattresses we purchase, new bedding we purchase. We go and we put them together on site for the kids. And each bed cost about $150 by the time we're done with the lumber and the mattresses.
Organization has 30 to 40 volunteers. Ugh. They also plan corporate builds where people can help out with little to no experience.
We train new volunteers. If you've never sanded before, you learn to sand. If you've never drilled before, you learn to drill.
This chapter started in the middle of 2018. They're fairly new, but they've made, assembled, and delivered more than 100 beds to kids who didn't have one. That's more than 100 of these.
Absolutely. We always say we don't have to, we get to. So we never, ever think we're going to give more than we get back from these kids, and bless their hearts.
It's exciting because we need somewhere to sleep, and because we don't want to sleep on the ground.
To go see some of these things, I cried after my first delivery. It was so impactful in a good way and a bad way.
The goal is for there never to be a need for SHP. As long as there is, then getting the name out there.
No kid sleeps on the floor in our town. That's our mission. If somebody's in Pinellas County, if they're at the diner, if they're at the restaurant, and somebody says Sleep in Heavenly Peace, or somebody's wearing a Sleep in Heavenly Peace t-shirt, that everybody knows what they're talking about. And that means that we've done our job and the word is out and we've put as many kids as we possibly can into beds in our town.
That's what this organization is about. There's 30 plus chapters of this organization across the country, and one of those chapters is right here in Montgomery County. And we're fortunate that the leader of this organization in Montgomery County is a member of our church. It's Colonel Paul Mealy, who's sitting right back there. Paul retired from the Army some time back, and when he did, he went into the ministry. I don't know that he exactly knows that's what he did, but he did. He doesn't stand up and preach on Sunday mornings, but he is leading a ministry of trying to make sure children of poverty have a decent bed to sleep in every night. And he's doing this in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul is making a difference for children who need a comfortable place to sleep. This is a need, and this need is an opportunity for the church to be the change that these children need to experience. The Adams Mart Mission is one of those opportunities. Our college ministry is one of those opportunities. Our food distribution ministry and our blessing boxes, they combine to be one of those opportunities. Our young adult ministry, Theology on Tap, it's one of those opportunities. Our youth ministry and our music ministry and our homeless ministry, they're all opportunities. We've got dozens of touch points in our church for becoming the gospel of Jesus Christ to our area, but we can't be lackadaisical about it. We need to embody the gospel of Jesus Christ immediately. We need to fish for people immediately. We need to do that while we're meeting the needs of the people around us, because that's what Jesus did, and that's what he's calling us to do. But I want you to hear this. You can't offer what you don't have. You can't offer what you don't know. Anybody can build a bed. Any atheist anywhere can build a bed, but you can't build it in the name of Jesus if you don't know Jesus Christ. Any atheist organization in the world could have founded an organization to start building beds for kids of poverty, but none of them did. Any atheist organization in the world could be organizing right now to go to Louisiana to get ready to minister to the people who are about to be damaged and hurt by the hurricane that's coming there. But it's the faith groups of the country who have been working this entire week getting ready for that disaster. Jesus Christ changes things. And we get to be part of that. We get to be called to do that. We get to commit ourselves to do that. And we get to reveal him as we're going along. I've heard people say, education is the way out of poverty. Yes, that's true, but it's not the way to a complete life. Without Jesus, education is half of the journey to a complete life. I'm not making any apologies for this, folks. I'm fishing for Jesus today. It was faith in Jesus Christ that changed my life. It was faith in Jesus Christ that led those Christian people in Charleston to offer forgiveness and mercy to a man who had just killed their loved ones. It was mercy and faith. It was love of God. It was forgiveness and mercy that changed this world from the very beginning. And it's what Mark wanted everybody to know. Those people in Charleston knew what Jesus could do for that young man if he would just accept him as Savior and Lord. I'm fishing for Jesus today. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't know what you're missing. Religion has never changed anything. I am not trying to lead someone to a religion. I am trying to lead somebody to Jesus because Jesus can change things. I want everybody to know Jesus Christ because I want everybody to become what Jesus wants our lives to be.
We have a role to play within a greater story, to follow in the footsteps of a supreme character. And in this story, the heart holds a magnificent power to lead us forward. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The undeniable truth is, whatever you love most, you become like. And that's why the Master gave us the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He knew that loving God above everything else would be the single most transforming influence in your life. Jesus' love for the Heavenly Father ignited his passion for a deeper relationship, one that is a living communion, an example for us to live by. Yet becoming like Christ is neither instant nor automatic. True transformation takes sacrificing what you are today for what you will become tomorrow. The closer you walk with Jesus, the more you will love him. The more you love him, the more you will become like him. In his image, in his likeness, in his ways. When you walk as Jesus walked, when you live as Jesus lived, loving God first, you ignite a deep and radical transformation empowered by the Holy Spirit. So become more aware of what holds your heart. Become more aware of the Spirit within. And turn and say like the psalmist, "My soul thirsts for God, the living God." And in that, you'll begin a metamorphosis, a change from the inside out, to become a different sort of person altogether, to become the person you're created to be.
Lord Jesus, help us to know as we gather here today that you already love us. You already care about us. You already believe in us. Help us, O Lord, to believe in you. Help us to be stirred from the inside out to want to love you with all of our hearts. Help us to want you to live within us, to make us the person that you would have us be. Help us to say to you today, O Lord, Jesus Christ, I need you in my life, and I am asking you to come and live inside me and to help me find the other half of what it means to be a complete person. Help me to become your love in this world, and help me to know that by loving you the way you love me, that I can become more than I've ever been. Come and live in us, O Lord, and inspire us to want to tell that story. Inspire us to want to become the gospel. Inspire us to want to go into this world to make a difference. Come, Lord, and live within us to heal the prejudices, the hatreds, the racism, the anger, the bitterness, the division. Come, Lord, and help us to look more like heaven than hell. Make it so, Lord Jesus, for it's in your name I pray. Amen.
I am not ashamed.
you've come here today and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, we'll be waiting for you at the front of the church here, and we hope that you will come and let us help you with any part of that decision that you need to make, or declare that you want to be a candidate for baptism here. If you want to join our church and be part of our mission, we would love to have you. If you'll come, we will help you with that as well. If you are joining us via live stream, write to us and let us know of your decisions today or of what you want your next step to be, and we'll do everything we can to try to help you with that. This is a day that our Lord has given us as a gift, and we have an opportunity to make a difference today. Let's do everything we can to make that difference. We are about to go outside, and in true Baptist fashion, we're going to eat. And so I am going to bless our food in here today, and then I want to invite you to go out and join in that. If some of our really senior adults, like Todd, is in the line, and they need to make sure and let them go first, because it's a little hot out there today. We want to make sure they're taken care of, but we also want to make sure that we have good fellowship. So let's go and enjoy ourselves. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity that you've put before us. I thank you that you give us the moment in time where we can make a difference. And I thank you that so many have committed themselves to be here today, to be part of this story. Now bless the food that we are about to eat, bless the fellowship that we are about to have, and then bless the mission that we are about to take part in. Help us to dedicate it to you today, O Lord. For it is in your name we offer our prayer. Amen.